What's up, y'all? You know what it is when you see Mike and Sam in your view. It's Double M, the wrestling edition. We out here.
You know me,
Mike Nice.
My name Cool Sam for obvious reasons.
The executive producer. Once again, this is Double M, the wrestling edition, sponsored by our boys at BetOnline, AG.
AG.
They holding it down for us.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, man. It's been a while since we had a chance to do one of these shows. I think the last time we got a wrestling show in, it was prior to Clash at the Castle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the premium live event. They don't want to call it pay-per-view anymore. I guess that's old school, but now they call it the premium live event.
Yeah, a little money change names around.
That got to be what it is.
Thanks. Stupid.
But the premium live event, Clash at the Castle, WWE had that. And that's the last time we did a show. And a lot of things have popped off in the world of wrestling. A lot of things have popped off in the WWE world as they continue to unfold under new management. But before we get to the A company, the top company, the company that, in my opinion, still runs things
supremely,
let's talk about AEW.
Yeah.
For those of you who don't know who AEW is, it's, you know, another wrestling company out there. Obviously, are they on the same level as WWE?
Oh, God, no.
I would say absolutely not. But, you know, they swinging and punching and trying to fight and claw and scratch their way up to being of some prominence. But they're not there yet.
No.
But like I said, you know, they have enough talent over there to try to make some noise. Try to make things interesting, which they tried to do. But as of late, things have seemed to be a little rocky inside the company. And, you know, Sam and I were talking about it as we were making our way here to record this podcast. And it's giving off, for those real old wrestling heads out there, it's giving off real WCW vibes. And if you know what I mean by WCW vibes, you know how that company unfolded and how that company folded.
Oh, I see what you... This man's a poet.
AEW seems to be on that type of path. And Sam, I want you to dive in because, again, I know about AEW a little bit, you know, on the surface. But you're one who I know has spent time watching the product, following the product. So, you know, give your take on, especially the recent events that have been going on and just what it seems like the culture and the environment is like currently over there in that company.
Absolutely. Thank you, kind sir. Now, let's not get it twisted. I am a fan of All Elite Wrestling, right? I'm a fan of wrestling. So any wrestling promotion, I'll give it a gander because, you know, I love the sport. And AEW draws a lot of comparisons to WCW. The same way WCW popped up is basically the same way AEW popped up. You had a couple independent wrestlers that never made it to, you know,
the big time.
The big time that always had this animosity toward WWE that decided that they were going to give them a run for their money. And then you had those independent wrestlers. You mixed them in with some old WWE veterans that felt like they were wronged by the company. You put those together. You throw in a billionaire that feels like he has something to prove. In this case, it's Tony Khan. Back then, it was Ted Turner. And alas, AEW was born about 3 years ago. And, you know, again, I'm a fan. AEW, very entertaining. They were able to bring in some huge names like Chris Jericho, formerly known Dean Ambrose, but now he's Jon Moxley. You had big international stars like the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega, you know, Hangman, Adam Page. You know, you had
Bryan Danielson.
Formerly known as Daniel Bryan. They just flipped his name. Wrestling like pointless. At the end of the day, they were able to bring in people that were able to fill up the cars and garner some attention. Now, you know how people are. You present them with something new and fresh, it's going to garner some attention. And AEW came out right at the perfect time because WWE was kind of on a downward slope because they were force-feeding us a bunch of stuff we didn't want to see. Because it was mostly either repetitive or just didn't make no damn sense. So AEW popped up out of nowhere on a national television station, broadcasted weekly, and it gave viewers a chance to see something else. Exposed us to some wrestlers that we never heard of or we didn't get to see on a regular basis. Coupled in with some old WWE heads, and you had something new and fresh to watch, you know? So, again, I say this again to say, I am a fan. But as a fan, that allows me the opportunity to critique things when I see fit.
And that company needs some critiquing.
They need a lot of things. They need a lot of things. So, like WCW, AEW modeled their company behind having active wrestlers be executive producers of the show behind the scene as well, which, like we discussed, we always thought was a really bad idea. That's like if we were in the NBA having LeBron be the commissioner as well.
Yeah, makes sense.
It's gonna cause some problems. As impartial as one might try to be, you're gonna swing stuff in your favor eventually.
Or the favor of your people.
Or your peoples. You're gonna look out for them. That's human nature. Shout out to Mike Jack one time. So with that being said, one of the big names that they were able to bring in that probably was the biggest free agent signing was CM Punk. Anyone who ever watched WWE in the last 20 years knows who CM Punk. He's one of the most infamous WWE wrestlers of all time. Had a lot of success, garnered a lot of attention, had some of the greatest matches and greatest promos of all time.
Sure did. Pipe bomb.
Left in, some will say, a most unceremonious way. But he left his mark. And when he left WWE, he basically left the sport. Didn't wrestle for what? 7 years? Nine years?
Something like that. He was gone for a while. Dipped his hand in some other...
some other quick thing, but he never really took the sport seriously. He just wanted to... essentially, he said the WWE ruined wrestling for him. So we thought he was never really going to wrestle professionally again. And then Tony Khan and those producers behind the scenes, they must have threw enough money and presented him with enough backdoor kind of incentives to bring him out of retirement. And it when he came back, it was probably the biggest pop I've seen in years. Yes. I'm talking about primetime rock, stone cold type pops.
Definitely tuned in to see CM Punk's return because you knew the wrestling world. Obviously, the AEW fans would go crazy, but just the wrestling world in general would go nuts for him.
Lost their minds. You had people that were still under contract with WWE, and let me tell you something. They have a very, very strict policy about mentioning wrestlers from other promotions over there. WWE likes to act like other wrestling promotions don't exist. But even current wrestlers were like, yo, it's good to see CM Punk back.
Yeah.
And it was. It is. It's good to have CM Punk back. Great wrestler. Still great promos. Thing about CM Punk, though, and I apologize in advance for my language, he ain't no bitch. Right? He gonna say how he feel, and he gonna say it whenever he wants to say it, which is ultimately what led to his unceremonious exit from the WWE. So, long story short, there was a wrestler by the name of Colt Cabana who CM Punk has a long, strenuous history with. He was also signed to AEW, and then CM Punk, I guess, behind the scenes, you know, he's built a very strong relationship with Tony Khan. A lot of people believe he got into Tony Khan's ear and said, hey, this guy is a cancer to the business. It's time to get him out of here. Whether or not that story is true, no one really knows. But because the rumor was out there and it was being pushed by enough people, it doesn't even matter if it's true now.
Yeah.
Because enough people heard it, it might as well be true, you know, because the damage from that has been done already. Colt Cabana was very, very close with a lot of wrestlers backstage, including these executive producers of the show.
Mm-hmm.
Now, because Tony Khan is the owner, he has the last say in all decisions. He might take, if you're an EP, he might take your ideas into consideration, but ultimately, what he says goes. So, Colt Cabana is gone. And a lot of people backstage weren't happy about it. Now, what happens? One of Colt Cabana's friends, Adam Hangman Page, so happened to have a feud with CM Punk over the AEW World Championship. You know, whenever you're feuding with somebody in wrestling, you go out, you call them out, they come to the ring, you do your promos that you practiced 100 times.
Yep.
It's like clockwork. It's rehearsed lines, you drop your punch lines, then you leave. Sometimes you start a fight. Most of the time, you're just trying to garner more attention to build up the pay-per-view fight coming down the road.
But there are times
people go a little off script.
Depending on what kind of real-life situations are going on, it can spill over to what's supposed to be a scripted situation. And that sounds like what took place inside of AEW with CM Punk, Hangman Page, and this whole situation.
Hangman Page comes out to do a promo with CM Punk, and I'm telling you, what he said was not on the script. CM Punk was supposed to be the face of this feud. For people who don't watch wrestling a lot, that means he's supposed to be the good guy, and the heel's supposed to be the bad guy, right? Adam Hangman Page comes out and says, "You act like you're some kind of good guy, but I know the real you. You're the kind of guy that gets people like Colt Cabana fired just because you don't like him anymore."
Mm.
What? No one planned for that. That wasn't on the script. Nobody okayed that. And it was too late. He already said it on national television. You can't take it back.
Sure can't.
Now, CM Punk is pissed because he had fans who believed in him being a good guy. But a good guy wouldn't go out and get somebody purposely fired.
It's not how face works.
No.
In wrestling.
No. Now you're messing with the money. Right? Because now it's like, maybe I don't like CM Punk anymore. Maybe I don't want to pay to see him fight. Maybe I don't want to buy his t-shirt if this is who he really is. You're costing people money. But you were mad. And you said how you felt. So, what happens? CM Punk has a championship match with Jon Moxley. He beats him after losing a couple weeks earlier.
Mm-hmm.
He wins his title back. Now we have a media press conference afterwards.
And he tried to air everything out.
He lets it rip.
Yeah, he tried to air out all his thoughts and feelings. Because like you just said earlier, you know, CM Punk's a guy who will say whatever he wants. How he feels, don't care to who, don't care to when. If he got something to say, he's going to say it. And then that press conference that you're talking about, I saw it. And granted, did I know much of what he was talking about? No. But you could tell this man is talking about some real life stuff, mm-hmm. some real life beef.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't holding back.
Nope.
You know, obviously they're wrestlers. So at times, can you say, oh, is this scripted? Is this fake or not? Like, you've been watching as wrestling as long as we have. You can sometimes tell, like, all right, this wasn't planned in no meeting backstage. They really mm-mm. talking about some stuff here. And he did. And, you know, clearly the beef spilled over after the press conference because what happened?
So after the press conference is over, all the wrestlers are still here because they all have to do these press conferences. CM Punk sees some of the people that he just recently completely blasted.
Yep.
During a live press conference, he sees them in the hallway and chaos ensues. An actual real life fight breaks out. Not no scripted wrestling matches We're talking about people were throwing actual hands.
Hands. I heard chairs got thrown. Someone got hit in the head with a chair. All types of stuff. I heard someone maybe was kicked a dog. Heard a lot of random stuff in this fight.
It got ugly. It got ugly. CM Punk got injured. Had just a torn pectoral now.
Yep.
Everybody involved got suspended. There's like 10, 15 people that got suspended. That includes CM Punk, Hangman Page, Kenny Omega, the Young Bucks.
Yep.
All which are executive producers of the show. And that same night, Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks had just won the inaugural Trios World Championships. It's like tag team championships, but it's three people. Whatever. They're trying to do whatever brings people.
Interesting.
It's interesting. I don't really like it, but you know.
I think it's interesting, but
it is what it is.
Product, so I don't know.
I think they won the belts and then they got stripped of the belts,
which
because.
Is crazy.
You can't have your inaugural champions be barbaric hooligans
in the
fighting
back.
After
yeah.
media press conferences.
Here's the thing, and you know, just kind of appreciate you breaking all of that down to give people a better understanding. But like you were saying, you know, a lot of what's taking place over there is real WCW-like. And if you remember those days of WCW, they had their highs. Where there was a time where they were beating WWE, formerly known as WWF at that time, beating them in the ratings because they were putting on quality shows. And I think similar, if you fast forward to today, there have been times where AEW was beating WWE in the ratings,
mm-hmm.
putting on quality shows. But I think a major issue, which we saw back then in the 90s with WCW, which we're starting to see now with AEW, everything that you just said, Sam, the fact that you have wrestlers, current wrestlers, trying to run things backstage, it doesn't make, obviously we have the history to go off of, it doesn't make for a good work environment. You see WWE, they have a few former wrestlers
mm-hmm.
who are not mixed up in the current storylines and are not trying to battle to for supremacy on the show. They're not trying to worry about, oh, I got the title, or my friend, he needs to be in the top storyline to get a title. These are former wrestlers who don't really care. They're just trying to, you know, continue to make money and be a part of the sport, or the sport that they love. And then on next to those former wrestlers, you do have some people that they hire just outside of the company who may just be good with business, may just be good with storylines and storytelling. And because WWE has had that for so long and so many years, they've continue to have solid success. Yeah, they've had times where their product and the storyline has, you know, fluctuated and not been as entertaining and whatnot. But at the end of the day, that's because the writers in the back suck and they can't put together a good show. It's not because the writers are wrestlers back there who they want their the guys to be up top, or they want more TV time, or they want more time on the writers in the back, in the executive producers in the back of, in WWE, they're not concerned about that. Who was one of the former writers? Freddie Prinze Jr., who's an actor. Seen him in a lot of different movies. I think he was in the movies, I Know What You Did Last Summer. I think he was in a couple of those movies and stuff like that. An actor was executive producer or top writer for the company. So WWE has all these people in place that have power, but it's not current people going out there putting on a show. Now, granted, are there guys in WWE who have a lot of say and carry some weight because of their status in the company?
Absolutely.
I believe Roman Reigns, you know, calls his shot sometimes. You know, top guys, Seth Rollins, Brock Lesnar, I believe they have a say. But at the end of the day, in some of those real top meetings, it's not Roman Reigns really sitting in there. Brock Lesnar not really sitting in there. They have the top guys handling that, who then bring it back to them, and then maybe Roman or Brock or Seth Rollins, these guys can kind of be like, okay, this can work, or they have a conversation about it. Nope, not an AEW. It's just these top wrestlers trying to figure it out for themselves and then go out there and put on a big show. And Tony Khan's just like, okay, you need money? All right, you need money.
It.
You're just trying to pass out
He's
the money.
Just the bank.
And again, you know, part of that, while it brought WCW a lot of success, because again, you got talent we never heard of, talent who didn't get a lot of shine in WWE, you know, it's going to bring a lot of eyes. But at the same time, it brought their downfall because too much creative control. And oh, it got messy with WCW, especially with Hulk Hogan and him being the world champion, and NWO was kind of like running the things. Mm-hmm. It got really ugly for WCW. And, you know, Ted Turner. And after Ted Turner, they tried.
God rest his soul.
Russo, Vince Russo. They tried Eric Bischoff. They tried all these guys, but it just wasn't working. And now it kind of seems to be the case in AEW where, you know, things look great in the beginning.
Sure did.
But as time goes on, and these top wrestlers are trying to run things, it seems like, I mean, obviously AEW, like, they haven't shown real, I mean, granted, this is the most recent situation. It's pretty ugly and pretty bad.
It's not a good look. Don't look good.
But they don't seem like they're on the brink of, oh, the whole company's about to collapse. And they don't seem like they're at that level yet. But
No. They're
trending in that direction if things continue how they have been these last couple of weeks, last couple of months in that company.
You know, and the thing about AEW is that with all this going on, they've had to heavily rely on the same people to carry the company. So, you know, like I was saying, with the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega being stripped of their titles, so is CM Punk.
Mm-hmm.
He was involved in the fight. He was world champion. They had to strip him. But you can't have a wrestling show without no champion. Somebody got to be champion. And the thing is, CM Punk keep getting hurt, and he has to keep relinquishing the belt, and then there's a tournament to win it, and then he come back, and he win it back, and then he get hurt again. It just keeps happening.
Bad look.
It looks very unorganized. I mean, you can't predict freak luck.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you can't predict when injuries are going to come, but when it happens, right? So now, you have to do another tournament, and you have to throw in there your heavy hitters because this whoever wins it is going to be your world champion. You just can't give it to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
So now you're back there like, okay, who here realistically could carry the mantle as champion, right? Moxley was already champion.
Yeah.
It's when CM Punk got hurt, it was the summer of Moxley.
Mm-hmm.
He put AEW on his back. And after he lost the title of CM Punk, he was supposed to go on a 6-week vacation.
I did read that. He was supposed to take a little time off.
He's going to go on vacation with his family.
But
you know, he has a young child. He's been on. Moxley may wrestle more matches than any other wrestler in the world because AEW allows you to wrestle for their promotion and wrestle for other promotions.
And
at
you've
the same
been working
time.
New Japan, right?
He's been working everywhere. Everywhere. Yeah. Anybody that will give him a big enough check to fight, he goes there.
Mm-hmm.
So he's having matches 5-6 times a week.
Yeah, he needed some time off.
Non-stop. So he needed the time to take to rest, recuperate, and be with his family. The man was damn near on a flight home. Tony said, hey, I don't know if you knew what just happened, but any way you could postpone that vacation, because we're probably going to need you to be champ again and carry us a little bit longer.
Yeah. I mean, they got to figure things out. Obviously, they planned on having CM Punk hold the title for an extended period of time. Because they know, having him be the face of the company right now, the way he projects himself, the way he has his mic skills, CM Punk's a solid face of a company. There's nothing wrong with having CM Punk be the face of the company at all, but, you know, injury plus that fight, all of that's out the window. You mentioned Moxley. He had his time to shine for a little bit, but he also, like any other wrestler, deserved time off. Hangman Page had his time in the limelight. You know, I know people have talked about possibly Bryan Danielson. He has yet to have time with the AEW World Championship. Does he probably deserve it? Maybe. But I tell you what, because I don't want to talk about AEW much longer, because I don't really care for the company. I know you watch it, no disrespect. But I tell you one guy who needs to get a belt over there, who should get the belt, And I know Tony Khan don't want to do it because he don't really mess with that guy. MJF.
MJF is the best thing AEW has going. And I'm telling you
right now. Put the belt on MJF.
If he leaves in 2024 and goes to WWE, you could go ahead and bury AEW right
now. Here's my fear with that. Because again, I'm a WWE guy. Of course I want MJF to come to WWE. Here's my fear. I don't want him to come to WWE and become a watered down version of himself. Because over in AEW, they let that dude, he does what he wants. He says what he wants. It don't matter to him. He says some wild stuff on the microphone. Mm-hmm. He says some wild stuff in some interviews. He is wild. You don't know what's going to come out of his mouth. A lot of that's not flying in WWE. And I think because WWE want to keep somewhat of a PG image and want to keep their sponsors and this and that, my fear is he'll become somewhat of a watered-down version of himself in the WWE. And that's what I don't want. I think he's a great talent, mic skills, the way he can snap back at whatever said. But I don't want him to come to WWE. And they're like, well, you can't say that here, buddy. You can't do that. That's my fear.
Well, it's a valid fear to have. And I also don't want to talk about AEW much longer. But I will say this. If WWE was still being run by Vincent Kennedy McMahon, that's an absolute... It's not even an absolute certainty that he would get watered down. Because I don't think Vince would sign him.
That is true.
Vince wouldn't sign him. You know why? Because Vince would probably look at MJF and it would remind him way too much of CM Punk.
Probably.
And that's just a wound he'll never heal from.
Yeah.
Triple H, though. I don't care what nobody said. Triple H and CM Punk real worked. They worked together real well. Those promos they had back and forth, I rewatched those a couple weeks ago. That chemistry was it. Triple H gonna know what to do with somebody like MJF. He's not gonna water him down.
I hope.
He's gonna allow him to do promos like they did back in the day. Are you gonna be able to go out there and call somebody mama a B-word? Probably not. But MJF is smart enough to be able to cut a slicing promo without having to curse a lot or cross the line. That's how intelligent of a speaker he is. He reminds me of a CM Punk. Because CM Punk used to cut great promos, but it wasn't like he was out there cursing up the storm.
Very true. Very true.
So did Chris Jericho. Chris Jericho used to say stuff on the mic. You'd be like, God damn. But he wasn't cursing. Edge, Christian, they used to cut great promos too. Because they were smart. Psychological. Mess with your head. They didn't need to swear or nothing. They'd be like, yo, I'm better than you. And
say some slick stuff. I mean,
right there, MJF's tagline is, my name is MJF, I'm better than you, and you know it. Stop right there.
Solid.
Stop right there. You stop right, that's all you gotta say. I'm better than you, and you know it.
Well, you know, like I said, it remains to be seen. I think AEW should definitely consider throwing the title on their biggest, one of their biggest money makers over there in MJF. And also in 2024, when he becomes a free agent, I know I would like to see him pull up and sign with WWE. I think Sam would like to see it as well. And things would get really interesting. Because if AEW lost MJF, which is their one of their homegrown talents, probably their biggest homegrown talent, like you said, I think things would get really rocky for that company. But as we continue to talk about some wrestling, we're definitely going to talk about WWE and all the interesting things happening over there. Before we get to that, though, let's hear a word from our sponsors.
This episode of Double M is brought to you by BetOnline.ag. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to wager on all your favorite sports contests and even with first-to-market odds and lines.
Find reviews and news of every league, including Major League Baseball, NFL, NBA, NHL, combat sports, esports, and even golf.
BetOnline continues to be the top online resource for all your sports information from live in-game betting, props, and futures.
Head to BetOnline today or use your mobile device to join today and make your first sports bet. Use our promo code CLNS50 to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit.
BetOnline, where the game starts.
All right, so enough of this AEW talk. The B company, the number two company. Let's get to where the real wrestling storytelling is taking place, especially under the new regime of Triple H and all the things that he's doing and all the things that he's brought to the company, making it interesting again, making it very watchable again. WWE has a slight problem, in my opinion. And to me, we're talking about this again, Sam, the brand split just seems dumb at this point.
It's got to go.
It seems done. When they actually properly utilize the brand split, it's amazing.
Great.
I'll never forget, what year was it? And I forgot what Survivor Series was, maybe 2005, I don't know. But there was a year, it was Raw versus SmackDown in Survivor Series, and the team was like Batista, Bobby Lashley, Rey Mysterio, Randy Orton and JBL versus like Shawn Michaels, Chris Masters, Carlito, Big Show, and Kane. I think that was a 5-on-5 Survivor. And like, even the years prior to that and the years, I just remember that year for sure, but the years prior to that and the years after that, those are like, okay, this really like SmackDown, Raw, Survivor Series came along, they battled it out, but like the brand was really split. You never have to worry about guys randomly appearing on this show, guys randomly appearing on that show, because you know, that's a Raw guy. That's a SmackDown guy. Even when the old games came out, you had SmackDown versus Raw. That's how big those brands, the brand split was. Over the last several years, obviously maybe COVID and the pandemic played a part in this as well. Because you know, yeah, they just needed wrestlers to appear wherever. But the brand split doesn't hold the same weight as it used to, because now people are just popping up wherever, whenever. And I get some of that, obviously, yes, the unified tag team titles, the unified WWE Universal title, I get that. But still, guys and girls who don't have a title still be randomly appearing on these other shows. Mm-hmm. And I just think, in my opinion, yes, either go fully back to the brand split or get rid of the brand split. I'm one to say they don't need the brand split anymore. Mm-hmm. But, you know, as we were talking, driving here, I thought about it more, and I was like, there's reasons why they actually do need the brand split. You got the idea that, like I said, if you don't have the brand split, maybe now you have two shows in Raw and SmackDown that look very similar. Because if you have guys and girls jumping back and forth from each show, Raw's really no different from SmackDown other than a different title and some different colors, the red and the blue. You're still going to see the different people on this, on the shows, so it doesn't make it too different. And obviously, you got to think about these wrestlers and how much they travel and their families. Like back in the day, wrestlers didn't care. They was on the road, they was traveling, drinking, partying, doing all their types of things. Like they didn't care. Nowadays, these wrestlers today are more like, yo, I want time to myself. I want time my family. Like I don't want to be on the road or just many, like they think about that a lot. And I'm pretty sure Raw and SmackDown each week they're in different cities. Raw's in the city on Monday, SmackDown somewhere else completely different on Friday, plus all the little house shows they do during the week. Mm-hmm. It's a lot. And if you ask to a brand split to end, you're probably requiring more from your talent. So there's a lot of pros and cons to it. I want their brand split to end, but at the same time, I kind of understand why it may be necessary. What are your thoughts and feelings on the brand split?
I want that brand split gone as soon as possible. The fact that it ain't gone yet pissing me off as we speak. Let me tell you why. Because how in the world can you have half the titles in your company be unified from both shows, but and there's still a brand split.
There's still a brand split.
I get it. you're unified. So that means anybody from SmackDown or Raw can challenge you. Well, again, what's the point of having the brand split if your champion could be challenged by anybody from either show?
Mm-hmm.
You did what? What are you doing with that brand split?
Yep.
Second of all, you're right. Nobody even listens to those rules. We were talking about it the other day. We see Raw superstars on SmackDown all the time. Now, back in the day, if you saw a Raw superstar on SmackDown, it was only for one reason. Invasion.
Yep, Invasion.
And when they did those Invasion storylines,
I missed those.
Those were great.
I missed those.
SmackDown invaded Raw. You got a bunch of people with blue shirts on, looking all militant, having pride,
yeah,
like some damn patriots, running up and down, causing havoc in the backstage, beating people up on some mob stuff.
I like those storylines.
It was insanity. It was chaos. It was great. But now it's just like, we need somebody to jump in this match. SmackDown, y'all got anybody y'all not using? And just throw them right in. Again, WWE is not even holding true to their own rules of a brand split.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know what you're saying. Without a brand split, Raw and SmackDown are two very similar shows. My thing is this. You have so much talent, right? And I know what you were saying also about the schedules, right?
Yep.
Everybody involved in the production of those shows knows if they're going to be featured on that show.
Mm-hmm.
So if I tell you a week in advance, hey, Mike, you're going to be on SmackDown this week, not Raw. So on Monday, if you want to take that day off and be with your family, just meet us in Milwaukee on Tuesday.
Yep.
Or on Friday or whatever. You know what show you're going to be featured on. Now, if you're in a big storyline that they might need you for both days, okay. But that obviously wouldn't be a weekly occurrence. There's ways to work around that. This brand split, it does nothing for no one. Because again, they're not even holding true to their own rules of it. And because of that, Survivor Series hasn't really been good.
No, it's taken a hit the last couple of years.
Hasn't been. The last good Survivor Series was the three-way Survivor Series when they added NXT to the fold. And that's because NXT was the best show out of the three at the time. Remember I told you that?
Yeah.
I was trying to get you to watch NXT. I said, they got something going on over there because Triple H and Shawn Michaels are at the helm. It's fresh and new. They got these superstars that then came out of nowhere. Well, to us, they came out of nowhere, but they were, you know, big on the independent scenes. And what they do, they came to Survivor Series and they smacked Raw and SmackDown.
They won that match?
NXT won Survivor Series.
Wow, okay.
They won the most matches, I believe.
Mm.
I think it was like four. I think it went NXT, Raw, and then SmackDown. But then SmackDown won the world title
because Roman Reigns was still champ,
and he lost. Ambrose was champ
of what? What?
That's when Dean Ambrose was on SmackDown.
When they had the NXT Raw and SmackDown Survivor Series, that was like 2 years ago, Sam.
No, but that triple threat match, there was no NXT representative.
I thought the main match was like Roman Reigns versus McIntyre.
No, the Survivor Series I'm talking about must have been more than 2 years ago.
When Reigns wasn't champ. Reigns wasn't champ.
This was back when Dean Ambrose, I'm pretty sure Dean Ambrose, if he wasn't the champ going into Survivor Series, he won it at Survivor Series. Because I remember Dean Ambrose won the title. That was the only match. I think that might have been the only match SmackDown. No. SmackDown won two matches that year.
What year was this? 2019? 2018?
I'd have to remember, go on my phone and Google it.
Roman Reigns been champ for damn near 2 years now. So that's two Survivor Series.
So it's not. No, it can't be. This is not Tribal Chief Roman Reigns. This is still having old Shield music Roman Reigns.
Okay. Okay.
So it's a while ago.
So this got to be
2017, maybe?
17, 18.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
But
Because that's when Dean, remember Dean Ambrose had his run as champion when he was on SmackDown, and Rollins and Reigns were on Raw.
Okay. I mean, all of that to say still, back in the day when they had these brand supremacy, brand battles, the invasion, I'll never forget, NXT rolled up on Raw SmackDown with a freaking tank with the all NXT.
Yep.
Like,
yep.
That's when it mattered. And nowadays, that's all out the window. Like, you know, we're saying it, saying there's no brand split. So, I mean, like you said, the tag team titles are unified. The main title is unified. And by all accounts, those titles are going to stay unified for the foreseeable future, which, if that's the case, end the brand split. Because, yeah, I talked about the travel and having two shows look similar, but you have two your main titles, some of your top titles are tied pretty much. Like, you call them unified champs. The Usos and Roman Reigns are on SmackDown. They mainly appear only on SmackDown. The only titles that's really talked about on Raw, even though the titles, those big titles are unified, only titles really showing up on Raw, okay, United States Champion.
And that's
the Women's Championship with Bianca Belair, and then the Women's Tag Team titles, which I guess can go on either show, but right now they're mainly on Raw. When SmackDown, over there battling, and always seeing on Fridays, Roman Reigns popping up most almost a good amount of Fridays. Usos are there almost every Friday. Mm-hmm. My man Gunther over there holding down the Intercontinental title. That's just my guy.
Chopping chest left and right.
And then the woman, the SmackDown Women's Championship with Liv Morgan. And so SmackDown's popping right now. And that's just because those Bloodline is on SmackDown. So it just makes for a tough situation. Raw's doing everything they can to keep things interested with the titles that they do have and the talent that they do have over there. But either end the brand split or end the unified titles, the World Heavyweight Championship and the tag team, break them up. But let's transition, because the brand split is the brand split, if it is even still called a brand split. The main thing we got to talk about is what the future holds for the WWE Undisputed Universal Heavyweight Champion, Roman Reigns. Like I said, last time we did a show prior to Clash of the Castle, we had a conversation. And I think we both thought that Roman was going to lose that night.
Yeah, Clash of the Castle, definitely.
We both thought that
definitely
it was going to be the time for them to hand the title over to Drew McIntyre in his home country in front of all his people. The pop was going to be amazing. We said Drew McIntyre deserved it for, you know, he was the champion at the time, but it was during the pandemic, so he never won it in front of anybody. He was never able to enjoy the live audience experience with the title in his hand. We thought Clash of the Castle was it. But, whew, what a swerve that I did not see coming.
I tell you what.
Did not see. Because I tell you, there was a few times in that match I said, oh.
That's what he's done.
Drew McIntyre's winning his belt.
Yeah, it's over. I was convinced.
I did not see Solo Sikoa pulling up. There was the rumors in the rumbling, oh, he's coming to the main roster. And you figure he's going to join the Bloodline, but nobody knew how. Mm-hmm. How are they going to introduce him, integrate him? Triple H.
It's evil, my genius.
You pulled off the best way to do it. Granted, there's some people that wasn't happy. Me? Brilliant.
I loved it.
It's brilliant. Absolutely, positively brilliant. The way Solo Sikoa debuted, you know, obviously distracted Drew McIntyre. He ended up getting speared. Roman Reigns retains, and now the Bloodline gets stronger, meaner, tougher, whatever you want to call it. And you know, obviously, prior to Solo Sikoa, you could call the Bloodline one of the most dominant factions in WWE, obviously, today. And I think they're definitely at the point now we're talking about in history. And so Solo Sikoa, the Usos were the tag team champions, and just Roman Reigns leading the way. Shout out to the honorary Usos, Sami Zayn. I think he is killing his role.
He's doing excellent
Killing
work.
His role, man. As the honorary Usos.
a random white Syrian Canadian Samoan.
He's killing it. He's hilarious. Obviously, Paul Heyman is Paul Heyman. He's going to always do a great job, but, you know, Bloodline's amazing right now.
Don't forget, Solo just won the NXT North American
which
title.
Which I thought was very interesting, because now they kind of pulled that title away from NXT, which doesn't make sense to me.
Well, I think Solo's still going to... I think he's going to bounce around on all the shows, so I think he's still going to be on NXT. I think what they wanted to do was kind of have, like, Bloodline supremacy rule over all the shows. So it's like they said the Bloodline, we want all the gold.
So that Usos and Roman
NXT
run Raw SmackDown. Sikoa kind of runs NXT, even though that's not the top NXT title.
It's not,
just saying.
But he got the. They're not gonna take the belt off Bron Breakker, because Bron Breakker is
that's their guy right
that's
now.
That's the next. He is a Triple H guy.
Yeah.
And they're gonna ride that Bron Breakker train. And as I tell you, I'm not gonna say he don't deserve it. He's been doing great work. He got the pedigree. Son of a Hall of Famer.
How's his mic skills? Sorry. That's a sorry. Like we did on the last episode, if you missed out, Bron Breakker his mic skills. Sorry.
It's just, you know.
You need some more time?
Yeah,
green around the edges.
He's still green.
That's what they say.
Promos.
Still like, green.
He does promos like a meathead. You know, he kind of does promos like 2016, 2017 Roman Reigns.
It's going to take some time.
He needs a heel turn. He needs a heel turn. Whenever I feel like someone is really bad at promos, I feel like it's when they have their heel turn. That's when they learn how to become better on the mic.
I tell you, not everybody's John Cena. And Triple H ain't gonna fumble that. If you're gonna find a way to turn somebody heel, he will. John Cena was rare. He was able to continue making babyface work, but not everybody can be John Cena.
Nope, there's
Triple H won't waste time flipping Bron Breakker if need be.
He gonna flip him, and he gonna go from acting like Rick Steiner, his daddy, to acting like Scott Steiner, his
big
uncle.
Papa Pump.
When he start acting like Big Papa Pump, Dennis a rap. The man had muscles on top of muscles. Coke head, juice head. He had all the...
Yeah, he's definitely on
that
all.
That man was on all the drugs.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what. Hell of a wrestler. That Steiner recliner.
Big Papa Pump.
Killer man.
Big Papa Pump. But, yes, Roman Reigns. You know, we don't know what the future holds for him.
I do.
From the reports I've read, just from behind the scenes and whatnot, it's like, obviously WWE knows that they're gonna have to get the titles off of him eventually. He can't be the champion forever. They just know they have something going so great with him that they don't want him to lose. So they just don't know necessarily how to make it happen. We've had discussions.
Plenty.
The answer's simple. Obviously, the simple answer is not going to happen next week or next month. It's going to take long term. Roman Reigns is going to be the champion through the rest of 2022. I don't think that's up for debate.
Not even close.
But I definitely have my thoughts and feelings on what should happen with Roman Reigns and them belts. I know you do as well. Share with the people what you think the future should hold for the Tribal Chief.
So, ultimately, I think they're going to end up splitting those belts up.
As they should. If they're going to keep the brand split, of course.
They're going to split the belts up because, again, if you keep the brand split, it makes no sense. You need to have... Let Raw have their champion. Let SmackDown have their champion. Having it be one guy really doesn't work. I mean, it works for now because it shows complete and utter dominance.
But yep.
You can't run that storyline forever.
No.
Right now it's working because we haven't seen a run like this
in decades. Yeah.
In decades. This is Roman's really on God mode right now, you know? But again, we know he's going to have to lose them eventually.
Yep.
Right? So I think they'll split the belts up. I really do. And if they don't, then that means come WrestleMania, Roman Reigns is going to end up losing that belt. And I think it's going to be to Cody Rhodes. The only thing that gets in the way of Roman losing to Cody Rhodes at WrestleMania is if that match with The Rock happens instead. Because no matter how big of a star Roman Reigns is in wrestling, no matter how big of a star Cody Rhodes is in wrestling, and how big a unified title match would be as the main event, there is no possible match in the world between two people that would be a bigger draw than Roman Reigns versus The Rock.
Oh yeah, not a chance. Not a chance. There's no other match right now that could top that.
You have the family relation.
Samoa. The bloodline.
You have the... And to veer off a tangent with the family relations, you have the loyalty. Mm-hmm. Right? If you're the bloodline, do you attack The Rock?
Who's the real head of the table, if we're being honest?
Questions that need to be answered. You have the fact that WrestleMania is in where next year?
Hollywood,
Los Angeles. And who's the king of Hollywood right now?
Dwayne Johnson.
Nobody pushes out more movies than him.
Yeah.
So you have the biggest wrestler in the world in a match with the biggest movie star in the world, and their cousins.
Yeah, and the match is writes itself. The storyline writes itself.
It has to happen. So I think he'll lose it. I think Roman will lose the belt before WrestleMania. If Cody can come back and be healthy, I think he'll lose them at whatever pay-per-view is after Royal Rumble, but before.
No, hell no, Sam.
Because then it's like, who does... So if he loses it at Royal Rumble, right? Then does Roman not have another match till WrestleMania?
Yeah, if he's going to lose to Cody, once he loses to Cody... Okay, like I said, and this is all contingent on The Rock agreeing to a match with Roman Reigns. If Roman Reigns and Rock match is locked in at WrestleMania, I believe Roman loses to Cody at the Rumble. Once he loses to Cody, I envision Roman still comes out like, yo, you think I'm concerned about Cody Rhodes? I could get my... Because he'll lose in some kind of... I don't know. Does Cody pin Roman clean?
I think so.
I think he should too. I think Roman's whole thing will be like, yo, I was a champion for damn near 2 years. Like, if I want my belts back from Cody, I'll get my belt back. I'm still the head of the table. Because it's not like if Cody beats him, Roman Reigns going to fall off the face of the earth and lose all his steam.
No, I don't think that. I do think if he loses at Royal Rumble, if I'm Triple H, you don't see Roman again till he fights The Rock.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Once he loses at the Rumble, the next build from that moment on is him and The Rock. Roman's going to come out. It's like, it's crazy how it works. Hulk Hogan came out and cut that promo, talk about, I'm Hulk Hogan, I'm the guy, you people left me, this and that. And Rock came out and challenged Hulk Hogan all them years of 2001, I believe, leading up to that WrestleMania. Roman Reigns going to come out. He lost his belt or whatever to Cody, but I'm still the head of the table. I'm still tribal chief, this and that. Acknowledge me. You know, I feed the family, this and that. And then Rock gonna come out and be like, nah, slow your roll, bucko. And the storyline's gonna kick off from there after the Royal Rumble. They're not gonna fight. There's gonna maybe be a confrontation or something at that middle pay-per-view. But that middle pay-per-view is gonna be some chump chains, bro. I don't even know. It's freaking... Vengeance or whatever. That middle paper used to be No Way Out. I think that used to be the middle pay-per-view before WrestleMania. But it's going to be some stupid pay-per-view because Royal Rumble is in February. They're going to need some kind of chop pay-per-view in March to get to the WrestleMania in April. So from Royal Rumble, Cody gonna have his build. I don't know who gonna face Cody. We gonna say that for another episode, if we believe Cody gets the belt. What, don't say no names now.
I got somebody in mind.
Don't say no names now.
And I think you know who it is.
I don't know. I don't know who it is.
I think you know it.
Save it.
He's a cool. You know how this Paul Heyman guys. There's also Cool Sam guy.
Save it, Sam.
And you know who? You know,
I don't know who you're talking about. I'm telling you, save it. We're going to have more shows. I promise you. But I'm saying to you, I think if you lock in Rock for WrestleMania, that match takes place at WrestleMania. Rock, Roman, no belt involved. Cody takes the belt off of Roman at Royal Rumble, February 2023. They can't. Roman's great. We love this tribal chief running everything.
Best thing in 20 years.
But it can't happen forever. That's what it boils down to. So, final thoughts, man. Let's get some final thoughts here on just how things are looking right now. We talked about the future, but just how things are trending right now in WWE under Triple H.
Listen.
How you feeling?
Quick thoughts. Quick final thoughts. Number one, Triple H.
Bravo.
Excellent.
You get a double M star because you're doing a hell of a job.
Because he brought WWE back to life.
Yes.
You know, it was looking bleak. And he's brought back some wrestlers. He's brought back some character, some storylines. He's making it fresh and exciting. You're seeing matches between wrestlers that you didn't think you was ever going to see. Because Vince had this thing on rinse and repeat. You know, more wrestlers are getting shine. Yep. I love the fact that KO is getting a push right now.
Yeah.
You know KO's one of my guys. I love this feud he has with Theory. I love that Gargano is back. I think he's gonna blow up. You know, I love the push that all these wrestlers are getting. Even the Judgment Day. I feel like they're finally starting to gain a little bit of traction and some direction with where they're going. Now Dominic Mysterio is in the Judgment Day. That's going to be a whole father-son fuel. It looked like Rhea Ripley's his woman. I got the man love struck, acting a fool out here in these streets. But it's something.
Yeah.
Vince gave us nothing with the Judgment Day. Triple H is making something happen. And I think that encapsulates everything. Like, Triple H was handed the reins to the WWE. And not only has he not fumbled, he hasn't taken his two hands off the ball yet.
No. He's doing a hell of a job.
So, WWE's on the rise. AEW looks like it might be on the decline. Listen, if you're a WWE guy right now, the future's looking real, real bright. If you're an AEW guy right now, I hope your resume is up to date because you might be looking for a job real soon, either voluntarily or involuntarily. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah. Again, I agree with everything you're saying. I believe WWE's on the right track. You know, one thing Triple H is doing is just keeping things fresh, keeping things interesting. And a lot of shows end off with a cliffhanger, like you want more at the end of Raw. You want more at the end of SmackDown. You're just looking for what's next. You can't wait to see what surprise is about to pop off next. Even they're hinting some little random thing right now behind the scenes with some white rabbit, some, I don't know, some... Somebody about to debut.
Somebody's coming back.
Somebody and coming
you
back.
Know, you know who it is.
I hope it is who we think it is. It's a firefly. I hope it's that guy. We gonna see. But like I said, Triple H and his whole regime is keeping things fresh, interesting, and keeping you know people wanting more. And that's all you ask for from any TV show, any series. Same thing with wrestling. You just want to be entertained. So. Triple H is doing a hell of a job. Last thing I want to say before we go, you know, quickly just throwing this thought and idea out there that we can maybe discuss at a later time. But if, like you said, AEW might be on a downfall. If that is the case, and if we may see a situation where, hey, WWE bought WCW.
Mm.
WWE can maybe buy AEW. There's a lot of people out there that feel that the whole invasion storyline was fumbled. WWE may have a chance at righting that wrong if it were to go that route. Invasion 2.0, AEW. I'm just gonna throw that idea out there.
You a slick guy for dropping that at the end of the episode.
I'm gonna throw that idea out there.
When the camera go off, I'm gonna have some not so nice words for you, sir. I know we still on, you know, FCC airwaves, so I can't really.
We're gonna talk,
Sid.
We're gonna talk. I promise you. But like I said in the beginning, you already know what it is when you see us two in front of the camera. Some good wrestling talk is going to take place. Shout out to our brother Marv.
Yes, sir.
I was about to say WWE family. We don't work for WWE. Oh. Shout out to our brother Marv, DJ Meese, the Double M family. Shout out to our brother Tex in the building.
Yes, sir.
Shout out to the bro Mello holding it down per usual. Warm Media, Double M Media. We to the moon for the bro, Cool Sam the EP.
Obviously.
I am Mike Nice. This is episode, I believe, 113.
113.
113. We making moves. It's Double M to the moon. We out of here.